This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's January 2nd, 2023. Happy New Year! Hey, here we are, to be rebroadcast on January 4th, 2023, at a regular time. It's on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Storch. Franny, are you here? She's gone. She stepped out on me. Okay, she'll be back. If you are watching this on Facebook Live, feel free to comment. I may be able to respond. Maybe even Fran if she comes back. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can leave those comments right down here below, and we will try to get back to you. You can also send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com if you're not watching this on Facebook Live and listening to the audio content. I'm recording my shows on Monday now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WHUS 91.7 FM. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, Spotify, iTunes, or your favorite podcast outlet. Ron's rant of the week. It's the new year. It's not really a rant, is it? Oh, well. I think. Anyway, welcome to 2023. But I have to start it out, unfortunately, with a very sad shout out to our friend John, whose 45-year-old daughter, Amanda Bell, on the 28th of December was hit and killed by a car when she was crossing the street. According to Connecticut State Police, Amanda Bell of Plainfield was walking across Route 101 when she was struck by an eastbound Toyota Prius at approximately 8:30 p.m. This adds to the already record-breaking year here in Connecticut of vulnerable users killed by motorized vehicles. There have been at least 70 pedestrian fatalities in the state this year. It's not getting better, folks. There's a problem here, and I don't know what the solution is, but I'm going to start with, please pay attention when you're driving your car. Please, please, please. You know, we're soft and squishy. And we don't do so well when you hit us. You're big, and you're monstrous, and you're deadly. And it drives me nuts whenever I have to see another one of these things. It really breaks my heart when it's a friend of mine. And I just, I don't know what else to say, but I'm going to start my New Year's rant of the week off with, people who drive cars should be far more responsible than they are. And true. People who ride bicycles should be far more responsible too. I'll go along with that. That's a fair shot back for sure. I am not going to take complete sides here, except for the fact that when you're sitting inside of your monstrous metal-clad monster tank truck, whatever it is, car, you're much safer than we are outside of it. So please, 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 please encourage those you know, because I know most of us ride bikes that are watching the show or listening to the show. Encourage your friends, family, coworkers, whoever it is that are around you to please put a little extra level of attention onto what they're doing when they get behind the wheel of a deadly weapon. I'm not going to refer to them as cars and trucks anymore. Let's call them just deadly weapons. Sorry, I'm on a tear right now. It hurts when it comes close. Okay, on a positive side, always a shout out to Billy Too Tall Dujack and Laura Mullaly. Rehab, baby. You're getting there. You're getting there. Stick to it. Life is good. It's been almost 1 year and 8 months since I had my quadruple bypass surgery. And this morning, I hit a record-breaking workout at the gym in my spin class. It just keeps getting better. Looking forward to the new year. So that's my positive. I just, you know, I'm amazed. I am thrilled with the idea that modern medicine can do what it did for me and you know, preserve my life for a few more years so I can continue to shout out at you here on Bicycle Talk. So I can continue to harass poor Franny over here. Hi, Franny over here. Wow. Yeah, I heard a yeah. So anyway, let's talk about resolutions. Hey, Fran, you got any New Year's resolutions? It's that time of year, you know. And we're going to have Fran choke up to the mic because we got a comment from a listener. Thank you so much, by the way, that we can't hear Fran enough. So, hi, Fran.
Hi.
Got any New Year's resolutions for me?
Well, the first thing is I'm going to attempt to ride 250 miles in January because I'm set up for the St. Jude's challenge.
Yeah, so, I saw Scott Livingston on there, too. I guess he's on there. There's a few other people that have signed up for that. That's cool.
Somebody donated. 250 shouldn't be. I'm already 36 miles into it, so that's good.
Cool.
In terms of fat loss, I don't tend to have that as a New Year's resolution because I am just in a place right now where I have to listen to my body as to what I need to do, and I need to get so much more rest. I suppose one of the resolutions is to, it's to sort out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. Yeah.
That's kind of a heavy resolution, though.
Yeah, I know. It's maybe to get adequate rest and find ways to make my life more healthful for me, so I'm not so stressed, and that I get adequate rest and I get adequate adequate self-care. That's my main resolution. I can't make resolutions like I'm going to go 5,000 miles or have fitness goals, because my health goals have to come before any fitness goals. The fitness has to play to where I'm at health-wise.
See, my fitness goal is just to stay fit.
Yeah.
I'm not putting any numbers on it or any time on it or anything like that. I just want to keep staying fit.
Yeah.
I want to remain fit. And I'm also trying to learn a few new things so that I can teach others more and try to share as much of my wealth of instruction to other people who want to, you know, do things physically. And I had a really nice talk at the gym this morning with a woman who is, shout out to Tiffany, who is fairly new to the area. They've been here for a couple of years, but because her husband got a job up at UConn, and she is working at the community center. And she doesn't know, I made mention of the fact that I was on a first day hike yesterday at Mansfield Hollow, which we do every year with the Friends of Mansfield Hollow group that I'm a member of. And I said something about going for a hike around the reservoir, and she said, "Ooh, I'd like to do that sometime." I said, "Well, let's go do it. Just let me know when you're free, and I'll take you for a walk." And she said someone mentioned something to her about 50 Foot, which is another really cool place to go to. It's a big ledge outcrop, basically, is what it is, and it's got a great view on the top of it. And I said, I can show you all the wonderful places around here. But, you know, she's from Florida, so they're new to the area, and they're learning the area. They're also learning about winter. Winter is different here than it is in Florida, which is where Fran and I are going to be in a couple of days.
Yeah.
We're going to head down and see Franny's mom and hang out down on the west coast of Florida for a little while and ride our bicycles, and because we have a couple of bikes waiting for us down there. And we're going to, just chill out for a little bit, which brings me to next week, in which case there will be a short break in Bicycle Talk, and we will be because we are going to be in Florida and we're not going to broadcast from down there, but we will probably give you a shout out next Monday just to let you know that we're alive and kicking, and we will be back the following week. So if you're listening to this on WHUS and or on podcasts, actually more on WHUS, they will probably fill in with an older show for me to fill in the time space. So anyway, that will be that and later. Let's see, resolutions. So, you know, the resolution thing is just kind of, we kid about it when you've been working in the fitness field for as long as I've been working in the fitness field. We kind of kid around about it when we go to the gym, because this is that time that everybody comes out of the woodwork, and they are all on a mission to meet that health and fitness resolution that they trip and stumble over every year. And it's kind of a silly thing, and it's really unfortunate, but you gotta look at things realistically. And as far as resolutions go, having more than three is probably a big mistake, because you're gonna lose focus real quick. I would keep it to that. That's my general idea, is to try to keep it at three or less. Maybe it's just one thing that you want to do, one thing that you're kind of looking that you'd like to improve, whatever it is. I don't know. But, you know, the resolutionists come to the gym and we say, "Viva la resolution." So it's a it's kind of a funny thing. We all joke about it because most of us that are at the gym are there every day, or, you know, every other day or whatever it is, but we're very, very consistent. And that's the key right there, is consistency. If you can do the consistency, you can stick to it. You'll be able to stick to it a lot better. And don't overdo it. That would be a suggestion that I would have here, is that you want to make sure that you take, I love to say this, baby steps, little tiny steps. You didn't get to the place you are right now, if you are not fit, overnight. Okay. Don't expect to be able to repair it overnight. So, you know, you just do a little bit at a time. If it's 5 or 10 minutes, great, great. If the next day it's 6 or 11 minutes, great, great. You just increased by a minute. You got to take small challenges, very small challenges. Don't overdo it. Don't go crazy and say, "This is the year that I'm going to get on my bicycle. I'm going to ride 100 miles. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? I know there's a lot of people out there that like to do that, and that's great if they have a history of it and they've been able to do it year after year. Awesome. Wonderful. Good idea. But better yet, let's say you overly competitive with yourself and others cyclist, why don't you bring a friend in and maybe get them to do their first, you know, 15-mile ride? That's a great resolution. You know, bring others in to our sport. And you know, what happens is we all have such a passion for this. We love to ride our bikes. We love the concept of bike riding and what it does for us and what it does for our world and our environment. And so spread the word, because that would be a great resolution to have. I'm going to spread the word to X number of people, even if it's just one. Just pick it and go for it. I think that's a great way to look at it. So on from resolutions. Resolutions are silly sometimes, but, you know, some people stick to them, and then they actually get a big sense of accomplishment from it. Mechanical minute and cycling tips. Firing up that indoor trainer. Speaking of resolutions, there is that infamous bicycle trainer that sits down in your shed, garage, barn. Oh, it sits in your family room and it's already being used. Oh, good for you. Big shout out to those who already have it, already fired up and ready to go. But if you have not used it in a few years, which is commonplace, or maybe it's an indoor exercise bike or a spin bike and you can't seem to find it anymore, it's probably underneath all the clothes you've hung on it. Okay, right underneath there, you're going to find that there's a perfectly good machine just sitting there waiting for you. I kid a lot about this because it's kind of a thing that happens with a lot of people. They go out and they buy themselves an incredibly expensive piece of exercise equipment, and then the next thing you know, it's just sitting there with clothes drying on it, you know, that just came out of the washer and need to get hung up and dried. And, well, that's a good place to put them. I'll just put them on there. Happens all the time. We see it all the time. Anyway, let's try not to do that. I would say that if you are in the position where you have brought something like that into your home and you have found that it has not been used for a couple of years, find another home for it. You know, maybe a friend, family member, maybe a neighbor down the street had a cardiac incident or something and they need something like that and this would inspire them and keep them going. Pass it on, pay it forward, do something nice with it. But don't let it go to waste. Don't let it go to waste. Or the other thing you can also do is you can find your local fitness facility, your local gym, your local community center, whatever there is out there. Or as Fran has done, she has discovered the world of Zoom and Zwift. Yeah, it's more Zwift than anything else. The world of Zwift and
Zoom
Fran...
too.
And Zoom, too, because Fran will take yoga classes on Zoom, and then she will also do her bike rides on Zwift. And
also yoga on YouTube.
And yoga on YouTube. There's a lot of avenues out there that you can direct yourself to get yourself motivated again and just try to inspire yourself to get moving. Remember, if you can move every day, you just do something. Every day, just do something. These nifty little apparatuses that we used to use to just tell time, but that's kind of like the phones that we used to use to actually talk to people on. They've improved a lot over the years, and there's lots of good things going on. There's really cool, like this particular one, I won't mention the brand, but you might be able to figure it out just by seeing it on my wrist, comes with a fitness app. I think most of them come with fitness apps so that you can, as well as your phone, so you can record your activity as you're doing it. And it sort of becomes fascinating after a while, and you're... You know, as long as you remember to hit the start button before you start, you can actually record your heart rate with these, and that's a nice thing. I have a little bit to talk about heart rate later in the show here today. But, you know, these are all good things that you might want to look into. So when you're firing up that indoor trainer, backing up to firing up the indoor trainer, you want to clean it, wipe it down a little bit. It's probably got a lot of dust on it. Maybe it's got some spider webs or some creatures that are crawling around on it. You need to wipe off. Get it all in tip-top condition. Make sure everything is working correctly, spinning correctly on it, so that you know that it is very functional. And then when you put your bicycle on it, if it's one of those trainers that the rear wheel rubs against a roller on the back, and that's how you get your resistance, you want to make sure that you have an adequate tire on the bike that you're using. You want to probably, actually, they make specific tires that work better on trainers than on the road. They tend to be a harder, denser rubber. They tend to last longer because of that. And they're not particularly pleasant to ride on the road with, but they do have a particular function when you are using your bike as a trainer. I highly recommend, not everyone can do this, but I highly recommend having an old bike, one that you had ridden in previous years. Maybe it's your, you know, winter bike, your beater bike, your oh my God, my bike's in the bike shop and I need to be able to ride bike. So I need this secondary bike or whatever it is. If you can use that on the trainer instead of your primary machine, that would be better. That would be better. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get deeper into the winter, because we're going to be talking about things like getting your bike ready for spring and that sort of thing. I usually go over this every year. So just to try to get people fired up and let them know, you know, that spring's coming. That's the way we got to look at it. We are already past that winter solstice, so things are getting better, right, Franny?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting more minutes in the day right now already. So that's always a good thing. That becomes really encouraging when it goes up to being we get to a point where we all of a sudden get like 3 minutes in a day, and it's like, wow, here we go. We're on our way out of this. You know, you folks in Southern California, Arizona, and Florida, I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's okay. It's okay. We still love you, and we still appreciate your comments. And but, you know, we have this winter thing going on up here, and sometimes it can be pretty rough, and other times it's what it is. We've been pretty good lately. We had 1 week of some pretty extreme cold weather just before Christmas. This is the indicator that I throw out to Fran, and that is that, hey, I was coming back up the road and I noticed that the ice fishermen are out on the lake.
Yeah.
And when you see the ice fishermen on the lake, you know it's cold outside. So, because you really need, you know, enough ice underneath your body to be able to support your weight and also the weight of your sled that has all your equipment on it and other various things that may be on that sled. We won't mention any because we have a state park and it's illegal to drink there, but that's just saying. Just saying, I know it's the law. I know that there are those who don't always follow it. But anyway, so that's one of our indicators is how cold it is when you start seeing the ice fishermen out. And, you know, we'll get an occasional snowfall here and there. But right now we've had barely anything at this point. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Not unlike the people out in Buffalo, New York, who have had just a phenomenal amount of snow already. Lake effect snow is dangerous. It is big. That, you know, huge 4-foot pileups and, you know, of snow and just crazy stuff going on out in Buffalo right now. So they've been having a real winter out there. It's great if you are an avid winter sport person, but always remember when you get outside in the wintertime, you do have to take precaution and make sure that you don't overexpose yourself and then end up becoming a statistic. We don't want statistics. We want people that are happy and fit and, you know, preparing themselves for spring and doing whatever they have to do. If you are a cyclist and you are looking for good winter activity, cross-country skiing is a wonderful crossover. Snowshoeing is a pretty good crossover. Ice skating is a brilliant crossover. Really, really works well. Same muscle groups, all that. I used to spend hours on the ice when I was younger. In my early days of bicycle racing, I could spend, because we had the luxury of having the University of Connecticut next to us, we have an ice rink that is available. And there was lots of public ice time, especially right now when the students are away. And I could go up there and I could skate for 2 or 3 hours at a time, which was pretty cool because you can keep your heart rate down in that lower, you know, long, slow distance range and build up for the spring and, you know, keep a real consistency on it. And ice skating is very interesting because it's load and release on the muscles, load and release, repeat, load and release, repeat. So you get a really solid, progressive workout from it, I think. You know, I'd have these guys come skating up next to me and they go, "So, God, you're on this ice all the time. What are you training for?" "Riding my bike." And they'd look at me and go, "Riding your bike?" And I'd explain to them, you know, what I was doing and what the method was to it and all. And so anyway, they got to know me as the bike guy. I've always been the bike guy. But anyway, if you have the ability to find consistent ice in the wintertime, it's a great thing. It's a really, really great thing. And maybe you won't need that trainer as much. But back to the trainer, just make sure it's lubed up, ready to go, and also that it's very sturdy. You know, you don't want to have anything that's flipping, flopping back and forth or anything. You want to have a good sturdy unit. If you're riding on rollers, my personal favorite, it's nice to have a set of roller little platforms that you can put your feet on when you mount and dismount on the rollers. Makes it a lot easier so you don't have a crash into your into your sheetrock wall and end up having to have another project to do in the wintertime. So anyway, it's good just to have a good safe area of which you can train and a good safe trainer that you can train on. So the other thing that I highly recommend, Fran said something about, I think you need to check the tire pressure in my front wheel on my bike.
Yeah.
And the other day I went down to check the tire pressure on the front wheel of her indoor bike and it was completely flat. And it's like, don't let it get flat like that. But anyway, we put a little air in there, and now it's working good, right, Franny?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
I don't think it wasn't working. I think it's just not a good idea to have it I think it's just not a good idea to have that tire, you know,
without
air.
No, it's not, because it'll dry rot and then crack, and then that won't be good. But, you know, it's not like you use that bike outdoors at all, but it is your second bike just in case there's a problem with your primary bicycle. So it's always good to have a good working bicycle. And, of course, you know, when you put your bike on the trainer, you want to make sure that your bike is lubed up properly and, you know, in good shape there, too. Highly recommended that if you're going to do any lubrication on your bike before you put it on the trainer, to do it the day before, so that the lubrication doesn't end up splattering all over your family room or your bedroom or your living room or wherever it is that you have your trainer set up in. So you want to make sure that it's going to be a clean environment for it too. And of course, a fan is critical. If you have an overhead fan, very nice.
I have both.
And then if you have like a little box fan or something like that, that'll keep you cool, because you're gonna get warm. You're gonna sweat and you're gonna get warm. And so you really wanna set up the environment that you're going to be using indoors if you are training indoors in the wintertime. Or you just go to your local gym and find yourself a good indoor cycling instructor, spin instructor, whatever you wish to call them. I prefer to call myself an indoor cycling instructor more than spin, because some of the principles of spin I'm not really participating in. I teach whatever I would teach someone or instruct someone to do outdoors, indoors. So it's really more bicycle oriented, more cycling oriented, as far as when you take a class with me. And I even have a class every year that I do on Sundays that is an hour and a half in length. So it's a pretty long class, and it gets some solid, dedicated people to show up to it. I find more of my outdoor riding friends show up to that class than some of the gym-oriented people are showing up to it, just because they're looking for a goal and a goal day to get themselves motivated throughout the week to, you know, to get ready for the spring. So I have a whole program that I run for about 11 weeks, and it is set with the idea that it starts out at a low to medium level and gets harder as we go along, as we get closer and closer to the day that we'll be able to put the rubber on the road, which is kind of nice. So check in with your local facilities that are around you. And I would be really, how do I put this? I would be encouraging to you to actually ask people at the front desk, or if you can find some of the instructors, find out what kind of class they like to teach and get an idea and a feel for it. If you get lucky enough to find someone who is not just an instructor at the gym, but also someone who participates outdoors during the rest of the year, or even maybe still during that part of the year, then you got lucky. And that's where you're going to find, I believe, and I'm definitely very opinionated about this, but I believe that's where you're going to find your best instructor, whether it be that they're teaching spin per se, or if they're teaching indoor cycling. There's going to be a crossover there if they ride outdoors, because they know what it's like and they know what to expect. And when they see, you know, when they see a Lycra clad individual like myself walking into the class, we kind of stick out like a sore thumb. And I've actually had classes change because I come in looking like a cyclist, and the instructor then gets the idea that, I don't know what they have the idea of. I don't know whether they think that they're going to, you know, break the weenie in the Lycra suit, or whether they're going to have to, they get a little nervous and they want to teach a more serious class because there's a person there that looks like they really belong on a bike. I don't know what it is. I think it's the former, not the latter, but it don't fall for it. Do your workout, follow as closely as you can to what your instructor is giving you as a motivational workout and try not to ride yourself beyond your ability, because that's important too. So anyway, there you go. Firing up your trainer. Anything you have, any questions you have, you can always leave comments here and let me know what you think. There's other things that you can do in the wintertime and that you can do with your resolution time. And that I see here that Don has put a thing in here about he's trying to keep on improving on his strength and technique. Very nice. Very nice. So let me talk a little bit about that. It's bringing me a little bit off course as to where I was going to go here today. But there's one thing that you can do in the winter on an indoor trainer or rollers. My particular favorite are rollers. If you're an avid outdoor cyclist and you really want to improve things, that's a great. There's two things that I can tell you that will improve your skills outdoors on your bicycle: rollers and cyclocross. Both of those items will make you a better cyclist. There is no question about it. Cyclocross is not always available because it's, you know, it depends on the weather, that sort of thing. Rollers are, they take a lot. There's a learning curve, and the learning curve can be sometimes painful. You could fall off of them and then you'll tip over. Bear in mind, you're not going anywhere, so all you're doing is tipping over to the side, but you do have to be careful about that. And as another friend of mine by the name of John found out, sheetrock walls do have gaps between the studs. And yeah, you can crush your way through a wall. That's not good. Not a good thing. But, you know, these things happen. And so you want to be careful on rollers, because rollers are, they do require a different skill level. But then again, you can't get that skill level unless you participate with them. They make a huge difference. I can tell right away when someone has been spending a lot of time in the wintertime riding on rollers. Rollers just, they improve so many skills. The other thing that you might want to work on, and this is a shout out here to Don who made a comment today, is that this is the time of year that you want to work on your cadence. It's the time of year you want to be able to rev it up a little, basically. Maybe ride 5 RPMs or 10 RPMs beyond where you normally are. You want to try to work on that cadence level. When you work on the cadence level, it's going to do something specific, and that is, A, it will train your body and your mind and your connection to your legs and your body that this is okay. I can spin my legs out. You'll get smoother. It'll take time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will take time, and you will improve your cycling skill as far as how fast you can spin. And why is this important? Well, it's important because as you do that, even if you're using a lighter gear when to be able to keep that cadence going, you're actually going to up the cardiovascular part of your workout too. And some people complain to me, they go, I can't spin that fast. I just get out of breath. It's a cardiovascular exercise. It's okay to get out of breath. It really is. It's not a bad thing. So it'll teach your body how to do that. You'll eventually get comfortable with it and you won't be as out of breath, but work on the cadence. If I could throw anything out to you, Don, I would say work on the cadence. Cadence is key. It makes a big, big difference. If you Google it and you look online, you can see why bicycle racers in particular rely so much on cadence and why they train so much around their cadence. So there's a couple of interesting articles. Maybe I'll bring one up in a couple of weeks and I'll talk a little bit more about cadence. We've had this discussion a lot on this show in the past because I'm a strong believer of it. I was brought into the sport by a couple of guys that were seasoned cyclists when they got a hold of me, and they immediately saw that I had a relatively high cadence anyway, and that's what they focused on me to improve, because I'm just not a big guy. I don't have a lot of wattage, but I can get my wattage out of my cadence if I improve my cadence, and I can get my cardiovascular out of the cadence if I improve my cadence. It's all connected. And it made me a fairly effective bike racer because of it. So it helped. I'm not saying everyone has to train like a bike racer, but if you use some of those techniques, you will get better. You will get better on your bike. You become more comfortable and you'll be able to go further with it. So, improve cadence is your goal. Very good. Thanks. Thanks for listening and thanks for the comments. So anyway, I'm going to go on to some more content here. And this one is from our friends at Pactimo. If you don't know who Pactimo is, they are they're a clothing company. And they have a really nifty little article here. And it starts with New Year's. The new year brings new cycling goals. Perhaps you have a major race on the docket, or you need to start training right now, or maybe you just want to get out on your bike more. Whatever your goals are for 2023, try to keep a few things in mind as you go about achieving them. So they've got a little list here of things to take a look at. First of all, reflect and celebrate previous successes. Reflect on your previous year. Think of at least 2 to 3 things that you did well on, and praise yourself for doing them. What motivated you last year? Is it something that you want to build on for this year, or are you interested in trying something new? You can use a previous goal to push yourself even further in 2023. For example, if riding in one Grand Fondo in 2022 was on your list, make it 2 Grand Fondo events in 2023. Or if it was, the longest ride you went on was maybe a 35-mile ride and you did 3 of them, maybe you want to try to do 6 of them this year. There's, you set yourself goals that are realistic. Don't do anything that's not realistic. If it's not realistic, it's going to get in your way and it's going to be a stumbling block. Which brings me to their second comment on the list here, and that is start small and be realistic. Funny how this works, isn't it? It's easy to get ahead of yourself and want to go all out, but sometimes this can lead to getting unrealistic goals. Haven't ridden a bike in a few years, months, whatever it is, and you still want to break the Everesting record in 2023? Anything is possible, but it's likely too big of a goal, and it sets you up to feel like a failure. And that's really not what you're looking for. Instead of adding things like riding your bike for Instead, think of adding your things like riding your bike for 30 minutes 2 times a week. Once you've done that for a few weeks and you feel good about it, increase the minutes or the days and keep riding. Keep it easy in the beginning and increase your intensity over time. Breaking personal records are manageable and rewarding goals worth celebrating. All right, next on the list here, make sure it's measurable and keep track. It's difficult to achieve your resolutions if you don't have something to measure. If your goal is something along the lines of, I want to ride more in 2023, make sure you know what that means to you. Is that riding every day, riding 2 to 3 times a week, once a month? For some, it could be about completing a specific race or event or century ride or anything, or setting a record or whatever it is. Figure it out what it is and keep track of it. It gives you accountability and helps you keep your focused and motivated. If you don't keep track of your progress, you won't know how well you're doing. This is where I would encourage even if you're not racing your bike, even if you're not seriously, riding hard on your bike, you should always find a place that you can go that has a specific distance. Maybe it's marked out on the road. Maybe it's a point to point on a particular back road. We have a road called Back Road here. And that one is very popular for this because Back Road has at most a 3% grade on it. At least it's flat.
Lucky because within easy cycling distance of our house, we have training grounds. It's just incredible. If you want to do intervals on Stone Dust Rail Trail, we have the Stone Dust Rail Trail is 1.5 miles from our house. We have Back Road. Back Road is incredible because Back Road, like you said, it's a 2 to 4% grade. It's almost like a rail trail. And it's 4 miles long, which means you can do sprints and time trials on it very easily. And it's, depending which way you go, it's three or 6 miles from the house, depending on how you get there. Mm-hmm. And, so if I'm going to do a time trial, I do an out and back and I go the 6 mile way and then I get a really good warm up before I get there, do an out and back, like a 6 mile out and back. And then I go 6 miles back. I've got an 18 mile ride and it's a good training ride. And then you can do intervals and you can go the uphill way or the downhill way.
Right, right. And the other thing is don't underestimate, the fact that, okay, I went out and I did this thing and I only spent an hour on my bike.
Oh, no. If you're
never never feel bad about that.
If you're going to do a training ride, it can be an hour or less, or probably should be an hour or
Correct.
Less.
Very
you're
good
doing
friend.
Intervals?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and if I do hill repeats, we have amazing hills. We have hills that you can do hill repeats on that are actually too close to the house. So you have to go out and do an
do
extra
a loop,
loop
before you get there.
Yes. And that's what I do. I do a little loop on Bassett's Bridge Road, and then I climb up to the Bedlams, and at the bottom of North Bedlam, there's this little punchy hill. So I have a choice of doing a whole bunch of repeats on Little Punchy, yep. The beginning of North Bedlam.
My particular favorite.
Or sometimes I'll do a few of those, and then I'll ride the rest of the way on a substantial hill up to Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll climb Davis a few times, which is a longer hill. And the longest, hardest bit is the top part of North Bedlam into Federal. And it's really close to our house. It's incredible.
And they're all very close. And that's what you want to look for. You want to look for something that's relatively close to your home where you're going to start from and finish at, so that if you're having a particularly hard day, it's an easy ride home. And also, you're looking for that variety, like Fran was just pointing out. You want to have a variety of things you can do on that particular piece of road. And it's important that it is fairly close to your home.
And don't forget about 89. 89 is really good for doing
time
trials.
Nobody knows what that is. We're talking to people in Australia, Fran.
Oh.
They don't know what 89 means.
We have a
means.
Road called 89. Yeah, it's really good for riding on.
It's a Connecticut route number. But anyway, for those of you who are listening, for Chris and the rest of the crew that are over in Australia listening, a big shout out to you guys and a Happy New Year. I think you got your New Year before we got our New Year, right? Is that correct?
In Australia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Happy New Year a few days late is what we'll call it.
Want to hear my funny Zwift story for New Year's?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I was on a ladies' ride last night. On New Year's Day, and there were women from all over the world on it, a few from Australia. And and Zwift, if you had one on one of the classic Zwift helmets, it was for New Year's on the 31st and the 1st, it was turned into a New Year's Happy New Year fedora. It was very cute. So we were all wearing these New Year's Happy fedoras. And some people didn't have them on because they were wearing a fancier helmet, but you could select it from your garage.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were right. So I was riding at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So in Australia, depending where you are, I think it was like 6 a.m.
Right.
So
right.
It means it was January 2nd. So they said, we're not seeing any of this because it's January 2nd here.
Yeah.
It was funny. It's because the international dateline is a funny thing. And on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, you can watch ABC and they'll show you it turning into New Year's across the world. Because it happens, 12 hours, at least 12 hours before us, other places. So that's interesting.
So
that's my story.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's a very good story. So the idea here is that you want to set a couple of, small goals, a time trial, a hill climb or whatever. Time them out now, or early when you are able to get back on the road and record it. And set it aside so that you can go back maybe 3 or 4 weeks later and try again and see if you're going in the right direction. And this is key because it brings me to something that I am always, I'm always jumping all over. And that is that I find a lot of people get really, really involved in their workouts. They get really, really involved in their training and they forget to do the most important part of training. And that is rest.
Yeah.
A good indicator of I'm not getting enough rest is when you go out and you do the same thing you do all the time. I know people that do this weekly. They go out and they have a weekly, you know, time trial loop or whatever it is. They go out and do the same thing every week and they push themselves and they see if they can get a little faster as they go along and they go along. And then they start going slower and slower and slower. And they you know, call me up and say, "Hey, Ron, what's going on? What's happened here?" And I said, "How much are you resting? When was the last time you took a week off from doing your time trial or your, you know, extra effort that you're using for your quote unquote training?" And when they say, "Oh, I never rest. I don't do that. I feel bad when," there's the problem. You will go slower if you put too much effort in. So you got to rest. You've got to rest. So bringing me to the last item on this list, a very important item, stay positive and have fun. Got that famous word, fun. You like that? Thinking positively has numerous benefits to our physical and mental health. Did you run out of time to do your goal this year, or you didn't complete your training for a week? Don't beat yourself up over it. Try to figure out why you fell off the wagon or didn't accomplish what you originally planned. Think of the positives that you have accomplished so far and reconnect with what drives you for the next year or just even the next week. Focus on gradual and continuous improvement. Consistency, consistency, consistency. How many times do I say that in the show? All the time. Most of all, make sure you're having fun. These goals are resolutions you set for yourself, not something someone mandated you to do. You wanted to accomplish them for one reason. So try to remember that and have a great time getting there. Most importantly, just get out and ride your bike. You know what? Why do you ride a bike? Why do you like to ride your bike so much? Sometimes you just have to go out and put on the slow shoes and just smell the smells and view the views and just ride along at 10 miles an hour and go, "God, I love riding my bike." And when you don't love riding your bike, you need to reevaluate that. You need to take a good look at that. Figure out what's making that happen, because something's making that happen. So, you know, keep that positive attitude. Super helpful, super important. You definitely want to be there. That's from our friends at Pactimo Clothing, and they had a lot of really good ideas there, and I couldn't help but stumble upon that one and thought I would go in that direction because it was listed under New Year's resolutions, because this is that time of year. This is where we are at. This is it. So anyway, what else? So this morning, as I am coming back from the community center, and I am listening to public radio, good old public radio, yeah, one of my favorites, I pick up on this story. And hey, it's January 2nd, and what makes public radio pop this morning? E-bikes could be a more affordable way to reduce emissions. Hey, who would have guessed? So, with the average price of a new electric vehicle climbing to over $60,000, might e-bikes be a more affordable solution to ditching gas-powered cars? I can tell you this much, and as much as there are love-hate relationships with this gentleman, I know that that's what Mr. Elon Musk says. He is convinced that e-bikes are going to take over the car industry eventually. So this is a thing, and it's and where did the rest of my article go? Goodness, oh God, I don't like this. Anyway, I hate it when it just like disappears on you. So this is a really cool thing because it made it to basically the big media, and you know, it's just super positive that we're talking about this on Morning Edition on public radio. So I think it's really cool, and it is something that I will somehow be able to figure out why it got erased from my screen, and we'll talk about it maybe at a future time. But the whole premise of the article and or the story that was on the radio was that, you know, you're looking at these electric motorized vehicles, which are really big, and it seems to be that we have a big problem here in the United States. And the big problem is that if it's not bigger, then it's not better, and which is really the wrong direction to go, but we won't get into that. I always remind people about that when they go, well, I'm gonna buy a new house. And I go, why are you buying a new house? What's wrong with your house? Oh, I need something bigger. And I laugh at them because I go, you know what happens when you get a bigger house? You just fill it up and you have more stuff. And now you need a bigger house again, again, again. It's like a disease. It's just, it just never, ever stops. So you don't need a bigger. You need to utilize what you have. And, you know, unfortunately, here in the United States, we have this concept with automobiles, which is just frightening as far as, you know, the bigger the car is or the bigger the truck is, the better it is. Whereas it's really not. And it's really not. It's congesting our roads. It's creating all sorts of problems, global problems. We are the worst polluter in the world as far as our little vehicles go, which is really nasty. We could prove that. We can prove that. So an electric bicycle, an e-bike, is an obvious, affordable solution. Even if you invest a lot of money into an e-bike, it's not going to be $60,000. It's going to be far, far less than that. And you can really get into something for, you know, under really, you know, $2,000 to $3,000, and you're going to be fat and happy. You're going to be able to go and do everything you want to do. If you've got kids and you got to transport them around, there's these really cool e-cargo bikes. You should check those out. They're wonderful. They're brilliant. You can put the kids in them because they've got a trailer-ish type mechanism that goes along with it because it is a cargo bike. You know, you can get by without a motorized vehicle, and it's a lot less expensive than it is to maintain a motorized vehicle. Not to mention the parking situation, you know, because you have to pay to park on all these other things. You don't have to pay to park with this. It's like, it's very affordable, and it's great. It's recreational. And look at, if you're a parent and you're bringing your kids up this way, they're going to learn this. They're going to learn this. It's going to be embedded in their brains that this is a really good thing to do. Mom and dad go grocery shopping with bikes. This is good. So there's a lot of really, really good things about this that, e-bikes are definitely a good way to go. So anyway, I was just thrilled to hear this make the national news media because it was a good thing. And I will hopefully have more things for you. I had all sorts of things about New Year's resolutions here, but I'm going to run out of time. And that's going to be a little bit of a problem. So we're not going to go there right now, but we will eventually. Because we've got so many more weeks ahead of us here that we can talk about this sort of thing. 10 New Year's resolutions for 2023 and how to stick to them. Well, that's always the trick, isn't it? So this actually, this comes from yet another bicycling site called Bike Radar. And we will probably talk a little bit more about this in future episodes because, like I said, there's 10 of them here and that's just going to become a problem. A lot of this is oriented the same way. Many, many, many of these resolutions are really focusing on stick to it, you know, stay with your plan, take small steps, not gigantic leaps. You're not going to get there overnight. And, you know, you can simply just keep riding your bike. That's all you have to do. So that's why I am going to continue to promote here this year on Bicycle Talk. I hope to add more interesting information in. I hope to figure out a way to get through my stumbling electronics issue here and bring more guests onto the show. I've got a couple of remote ideas that are in play right now that we will be putting together. I got my friends out at Bike Karma who want to do a show with me on their show and with them on my show and maybe even doing a show together. It'll be a lot of fun. And so I'm really, really looking forward to doing that. That should be fun. there's just so many good things coming up here really, really soon for 2023. It's going to be a great year. It really is. It's just going to get better and better and better. The big thing is take care of yourselves and take care of your health, and please be careful. And right now, Connecticut is raging right now at 15.5% on COVID. And now remember, that is what is reported, okay? It is not necessarily what is happening. There are people that I'm sure have an at-home COVID test, and they get COVID, and they do not report it. So that right
now...
There's no way to report it, exactly. So right now... reported or, you know, found out by going to the emergency room because I feel terrible, we are at a 15.5%. There's also some nasty flu bugs going around. It's just really ugly. Don't forget to wear that mask. The mask isn't that terrible. You know, it really isn't. It makes a difference. I wear mine into the gym. I wear it all the way up until I get into the spin room. I crack the windows open. I turn the ceiling fans on. We've got lots of ventilation going on in the room. You just, you know, be smart. Please be smart. I don't want to hear about anybody getting sick and having to deal with any of this. And then finding out that I can't ride my bike with them because they got so sick from whatever it was that hit them over the wintertime. So let's be safe. Let's be smart. And let's move forward. That's all I got for you right now. All right, so we are going to figure out where my page is here, and it's not there, that's for sure. And we will be heading on out. So events that are coming up for the first of the year, we've got a tentative date of May 17th, 2023 for the Ride of Silence in Storrs, Connecticut. We'll have more information with you on that for you at that time. Winter withdrawal time, get on your Zwift and kick some butt, even if it's your own, or try a spin class, or maybe it's time for a yoga class or a strengthening class, anything like that. Remember the Made Bike show.
It's always time for a yoga class.
The Made Bike show is on August 24th to 27th, 2023 the Rose Quarter in Portland, Oregon, and the bicycle game is still on in Hartford and going on all summer long. You really need to go check out the bicycle game on the early history of bicycles in Hartford. And that is a very, very cool thing. It's done at the Connecticut Historical Society. So cool thing. Check it out. Cyclocross World Championships are starting on February 4th and ending on February 5th. Our friend Lizzie is over in Europe right now reporting back to us on Facebook Live and on Facebook, I should say. So we're seeing some cool stuff. So resolutions, got them? Don't do too many. Don't do too many. Just do enough to make it reasonable, okay? Reasonable and achievable. All right. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when you're presenting to your local governments, come with solutions, not complaints or problems. Positive beats negative every time. Please support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2023. Initiate. Participate, ride your bike, tell everyone you know, and finally, take on the Pedal and Ron Challenge. If you have a motorized vehicle, park it for a day and just use your bike instead. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live or on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, you can leave comments below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast outlet. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs and WHUS.org. Happy New Year, and thank you for listening.